Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today's sermon is from Romans chapter 8. I hate to say it this way, but the main reason I'm preaching on it is because I've never preached on it. So I've done both the Old Testament and the Gospel many times, but I've always avoided this one. So hopefully there wasn't a reason I avoided it. So, dear friends in Christ, Paul talks about guilt of man according to our sin. He says that no one is found innocent. In fact, just before our epistle today is Romans 7. The good that I would, I do not do, and that which I do not want to do, right? That whole Romans 7 section where Paul makes it very clear that even with the best of intentions, we can't be free from sin. So he says, "For I do not understand my own actions," in chapter 7, right? "For I know not do what I want to do, the very thing I do that I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." And then he cries out, "O wretched man that I am." It's clear. We are all guilty, every last one of us. There is no way for us to work our way out of sin. But the beauty and joy of this letter is what Paul says in our text. After crying out, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this sinful way of life handed down to me?" Right? The answer lies in the Savior who is outside of me. A rescuer. Jesus is that Savior. He was sent to bail us out. As Paul concludes chapter 7, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And not only that, because of this rescue, he begins then chapter 8 with this wonderful declaration that I pray we all find comfort in today. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You see, in Jesus, there is no condemnation. In the Greek, it's katakrima. No curse. It is delivered from us. It is derived from Deuteronomy 27, 26. "Curses the one who fails to fulfill the provisions of this law." Why no curse? Why no condemnation? Well, that's a Sunday school answer, isn't it? Because of Jesus the Christ. He came to be our substitute. And because we now live by the Spirit, the purpose of Jesus' incarnation was to live as our substitute under the law. Jesus came to take the curse unto himself. He came to take our punishment and to receive our guilty verdict and to pay for our sins with his very own life. When Paul says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, he is referring to Jesus' role as our ransom for sin and our union with Jesus through holy baptism. In our ransom, Jesus is the payment offered to God for our sins. St. Peter says it this way, "Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Here we might remember the Old Testament system with all the ceremonies and all the repetition, day after day, week after week. The priests of old were to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Why? The writer of the Hebrews says, "Under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." The priests were to sacrifice an appropriate animal for the atonement of people's sins. They were to trust the word of the Lord and to see in that sacrifice their own forgiveness. Probably more than any other sacrifice, what would come to mind is the sacrifice of the Lamb. The Lamb on the Passover, the first Passover, when the Israelites put the blood on the door framing, on the lintel and on the sides, to mark them as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the angel of death would then pass them over. Each year, this was commemorated. Each year, there was a substitutionary sacrifice and a foreshadowing that was what to come. This is why when John the Baptist is on the scene, he looked at Jesus and he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." When John spotted Jesus, he looked upon the real and greater substitute for our sin, who would ultimately earn forgiveness for the world by taking all our places under the law and dying as a sacrificial offering. Not by hanging from a noose or a firing squad or lethal injections as we do today, but by death on a cross, as was prophesied of old. With the shedding of his blood, however, there is indeed forgiveness, and that forgiveness leads to life everlasting for all who have God-given faith. Not only did Jesus become the sin bearer, but in Romans 6, St. Paul writes, and he makes clear that Jesus' substitutionary work on our behalf drives us then to baptism. I'm happy to say that Pastor Rafa had the privilege of baptizing William Ruel, a hand, on Friday this week, and we'll have an affirmation, but we give thanks to God for another child added to God's kingdom. But you see, baptism drives us to Christ because it unites us with Christ. Paul says in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." This language then helps us understand what Paul means in verse 1, in Christ. How is there no condemnation for you? By having union with Jesus. As our substitute, Jesus died in order to win for us forgiveness of our sins. And moreover, as our substitute, through baptism, he clothes us with himself and grants us the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has not only taken our punishment upon himself, but he has also remade us and joined us to himself as the fruit of his substitutionary work applied through baptism and hung on to by faith. Paul says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." This setting free is an expression frequently used with that of setting a slave free. And we who are slaves to sin have been set free in Christ. Because of Christ, we are not condemned. Instead, we are freed. Because of Christ, we are not alone, but the Holy Spirit dwells in us richly. The second reason there is no condemnation for us in Christ is because we now live by the Spirit. One of the unique features of the book of Romans is chapter 8's distinction of life by the Spirit and life by the flesh. Apart from Christ, we are darkness. Our lives are motivated by fleshly desires, and as such, we have no hope of heaven. However, with forgiveness won by Jesus and his life offered as our substitute, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are declared holy, and the Spirit gives a new direction to our lives, a new life, one born from above, to live through God's Word. As Paul continues, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according now to the Spirit." As those who have escaped then condemnation, we find that our state of being is, and our perspective in life and our manner of life have all been changed. Paul speaks of this change throughout the rest of Romans chapter 8. In the final verse of our text, following as living by the Spirit, our text then concludes with one way we can see what living by the Spirit looks like. We live by the Spirit. We live with the confidence then in the resurrection. As Paul writes, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Truly, life by the Spirit is a different life from living life by the flesh. It is a life lived free from fear, a life with rich identity, a life of confidence in the future, and a life certain of God's love. That's why Paul can say at the beginning of our text, "There is therefore no condemnation." He meant it. And He graciously gave us, that is God, gave us the Holy Spirit and made us victors forever in His name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.